Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well,
listeners surpassed themselves today, Paul.
They did. They gave us some fantastic stories. It was something actually started on Friday about when driving instructors push their luck, and it seems many of them have over the years, although we did have one very good conscientious driving instructor pushing back, as you'll discover. What else did we do? Michael Fenton-Stevens, actor, head of the Groovy Gang, Only Fools and Horses.
You'll have seen him in everything.
Podcaster. Mike joined us to play Celebrity Combination Lock. Ian Danter joined us.
Yeah. Jude Bellingham's brother.
Yeah.
Job. That's not Ian Danter.
No, that's
that
not
wasn't
Ian Danter.
The news.
To talk about that, because could they be the new Charltons and Nevilles of English football? And that's just
all
about
our bits and pieces.
Yeah, all
Paul,
our bits and
it?
Pieces from our chat and your call. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. I was driving home from a lovely weekend in the West Country this weekend where I did two shows, one in St Austell, which was absolutely banging, and Linton on Sunday night.
You were telling us about Linton. It sounds amazing. The journey into Linton.
Yes. It's the journey into Linton is you go across basically the North Devonshire moors, and you've got the moors on your left, and then more or less a sheer cliff drop, and there's the sea.
Wow.
And you're about 300 foot up. And then every hill is sort of up 20% and round corners.
It's
and
not when you want to be on your Channel 5 show, Hell on the Highway.
Hell on that motorway, Hell on the Highway. Look at this idiot.
Yeah.
This guy in the pickup truck. What a fool.
That's it. I love it. Yeah. I've been watching it, Charlie. You've got me hooked. Yeah.
Stressful was the review of my wife's best friend.
Really? It is stressful.
Very stressful. My mum said she'll never drive ever again anywhere.
So. And if you are watching Charlie's show on Channel 5, 7 o'clock every Friday.
8 o'clock.
Boy. Oh, 8 o'clock. Sorry. I just
don't get it wrong.
I record it and watch it at leisure. but they show you it once. And if you're thinking, oh, I'd like to see that again, don't worry, you will. About 40 times.
In slow motion.
Yeah. From every conceivable angle.
And just when
you thought, they won't show it to you again. Oh, yeah, they will. They'll show it to you again.
It's a great show, Paul.
It's
going to be up for a lot of awards.
It's up for an Emmy, I think. Is that for an Emmy?
I think it's an Emmy.
An Emmy, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, lovely gig in Linton, which is like a sort of little model village if you could draw a little village on top of a hill next to the sea. It was that. Anyway, I was driving back. Now I've lost my thread. I can't remember what I was going to tell you about.
Linton. You were driving back.
I was driving back. Oh, and I was like, there was no sport. And normally I just have the sport on all the time.
Yeah.
I had no sport. Thank goodness. There I was in the car, 10:30 at night. Conte resigned.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, fantastic.
On Sunday, yeah,
straight on to TalkSport.
Danny Kelly.
Straight
on to
Danny
Russell.
Kelly, the perfect person to talk about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Loads of good callers. It was a really good radio. And I nearly rang you, Paul, but I thought you'd be in bed, so.
I'm surprised that you were surprised, because ideally 20 past 10 on a Sunday is when football clubs generally put out big stories like that, isn't it? Not at all. Not at all cynical.
The papers must absolutely have been furious.
Well, they already had their bits written. We were chatting yesterday.
Okay.
They all had it all lined up, so they were just basically ready to push the button. So if the board there opened that there wouldn't be anything in the papers and it all died down by Tuesday.
Yeah.
Have a look at Tuesday's papers. Telegraph Sport, Nagelsmann now number one target. Something we'll discuss with Lutz Pfannensteel, his old friend, the man who originally said to us, we've got this kid at Hoffenheim. This guy, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And Lutz was always evangelising about him, and on he went to Leipzig and Bayern. And so we'll chat to Lutz. He's over in the States these days working in St. Louis, and we'll chat to him. Now, going to get you involved in some stuff. And something, we don't often do this, but on Friday, quite late in the show, and he brought us a story, I think, of a footballer passing his driving test.
Oh, yeah.
We got talking about driving instructors.
Very nice.
And I mentioned that one of my driving instructors used to take incredible liberties. He'd, like, drive me places where he wanted to go and do something.
Oh,
he'd
errands.
Say, just turn left here, turn right, turn left, and just pull over here. And I was thinking, I'm not going to do a three-point turn. It's like it was his sister's place. They'd go and pick something up.
You do an eBay, deliveries for him. Yeah.
They probably were. But I wonder if anybody's ever tried that.
What a lovely idea.
So we did ask you for your stories, and we never got around to any of them because the show became very busy. But I said, I'm going to keep them, and I have. So Rob in Bristol, I hope you're still listening today. My first instructor would pick me up as soon as I began driving. He'd get the racing post out and pick his horses for the day, paying no attention to actually teach or directing. Alan Leeds told us, my driving instructor once got me to reverse Bay Park so he could nip into B&Q and buy a part he needed for his toilet. Aiden actually in Germany, he says, my driving instructor made me go through Mackie D's drive-through on my first lesson. He got a large Big Mac meal. Tom in Bournemouth, during my second ever driving lesson, I must add it was the first of which I was let loose on the roads. The instructor gently said, second left, please. I turned into a country lane, which was followed by Big Kev, the instructor, having a jimmy and then smoking a cigar. He said, don't worry, I'll add 10 minutes on at the end. another one, I haven't put their name on it. I passed my test in 2005, and back then, Pass Plus, where you'd go on a motorway, was a thing to lower new driving insurance premiums. As soon as I passed my test, I spoke to the instructor. He said, yeah, let's do it this Saturday. As a newly licensed driver, he got me to drive him to visit his son over 2 hours away. At the end of the day, I got a certificate and he got to visit his son. So everyone's a winner.
Yeah, very
and
nice.
Finally, this is the corker. Okay, this is from Cliff. I learned to drive back in the 70s in a Triumph Toledo.
Oh, beautiful.
A beautiful car. My instructor, Alf, would ask me to do an emergency stop. Once stationary, Alf would open the bonnet, get out of the car, remove his bread and butter pudding wrapped in tin foil, which had been resting on the exhaust manifold.
Lovely, warmed it up.
Alf would then get back in the car, get out his flask and pour a cup of tea to enjoy his pudding. As I was paying for this regular delay, on pulling away, I would kangaroo the car so that Alf would spill his tea in his lap. He would then criticise my clutch control and advise more lessons. Expensive, but worth it for the comedy value.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Cliff. So that should kick you off.
I'm surprised the Triumph Toledo was reliable enough to teach him, to be honest. They weren't. People like sitting at the side of the road in a Triumph.
Yeah, that's right. They're back in the day. So look, if you want to add to that, because I always, this is clearly
lovely.
A rich theme.
Beautiful.
All I said was driving instructors have been known. They do a brilliant job. We all pass in the end, touch wood. But some of them over the years, they do take liberties. Yeah. So if you want to tell us, talksport.com/H&J.
Or maybe you're a driving instructor and you listen between lessons.
You've got
some stories about your pupils.
Maybe you have talk. Yeah, that's right. Maybe you want to hit back when driving instructors hit back.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing that Friday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The driving instructor's already hitting back.
I am an
instructor. I had a student who insisted on removing her shoes and cracking her toes before starting a lesson.
Oh, lovely.
Wow.
This is a good one. I'm Pete, the driving instructor. I was once out with a young lady who asked me if we could pull into a garage because she felt some cramp coming on. So we stopped, she jumped out and disappeared round the corner. 2 minutes later, she turned up with a pizza from Domino's that she ordered just before our lesson started.
Say, okay, maybe when pupils take liberties as well. A fair point. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tomo the Terrier says, I managed to take 12 lessons and be put in for my test without ever having taken a right turn. The instructor kept me on a massive loop around the outskirts of Huddersfield with not one right turn negotiated. It's a very basic skill you need to pass.
I think you need that, don't you?
Turn right here, mate. No right. No right.
Mate.
Anyway.
We've had a suggestion, Paul. I'll read it out for you. To give your listeners... I feel like I'm
going to get into the voice.
We've
had a lot of people talking about when driving instructors take liberties, and you've been telling us your stories.
Yes.
Well, let's redress the balance now, Charlie, shall we?
To give your listeners a balanced view about driving instructors, please make your listeners aware that as a driving instructor with 20 years of experience, my lessons are designed to be good value for money, a good return on investment, and fit for purpose. The instructors that you have been talking about are clearly not professionals and only contribute to giving giving the industry a bad reputation. Perhaps you could invite your listeners to phone in with their positive experiences. Just a thought.
Just a thought, yeah. Not sure that's quite as not interesting. Sure, but... And why are you working on the basis that he speaks like that? You're almost certainly right.
Guess. I don't know who he is. Thank you for listening. I'm actually probably not listening anymore. Yeah. After that, I can imagine. There we are.
Okay. About that. So do keep those coming. We've got loads of really good ones. I'm just trying to squeeze in a quick one, shall we?
Yeah.
Took my driving test in Aylesbury. My examiner was from Wales. As it turns out, I was his first exam in the area. Halfway round the test, he asked me if I was lost, thinking I'd taken a wrong turn. I told him I wasn't. He then replied, well, I am. So just go back to the test centre and I'll pass you, says Ryan.
Nice.
Yes, beautifully well done. Yes.
Very good.
And Abdu in Truro says, could you tell Charlie that we love the show in St. Austell on Saturday?
Oh, that's nice.
Despite the 6 foot two people bashing. Are you having a go? That's part of the set, is it? You'll have to see the show for that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
You still a few dates left on the tour, Charlie?
Few dates left, yes, very much.
Well, where should we find out about the dates?
CharlieBakerComedy.com.
Yeah. Will you be doing that voice?
Hello.
I don't do that voice. Maybe I'll write something for that voice.
Bring something in.
Why not?
Yeah, driving instructor man, the new character that takes you to the O2, the big room.
I think you'll find.
Oh, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Thank you very much for when driving instructors take liberties afternoon. Yeah. We have had the record balanced by an instructor who does a very good job. Steve from Durham says, learnt to drive straight in a 4-ton army truck in the early 90s. Pre-camera tracking, etc. Our instructor used to collect us from the barracks in Hull and collect building materials from his house in Beverley and deliver it to his daughters in Bridlington twice a week for 4 months. We actually delivered the whole extension. Well, you could argue that they would argue, I'm sure, that this is all good practice.
Yeah,
and maybe
good.
If you are going to pop into B&Q, I think my instructor used to do things. He'd pop into Tesco's now and again.
Yeah.
Just pull in here. I won't be 5 minutes and I'll put it on at the end. You're in a busy car park.
Exactly.
It's all good driving skills, isn't it?
Proper practice. Mine used to go, more gas, I would. At a junction.
What's he looking at? I would. Oh, okay, so we get to a junction.
Yeah, get to a junction, and if you're a bit hesitant, I would.
Oh.
More gas. Still say it now.
You
to
still
this
say
day,
it now.
More gas.
So when you come to teach your kids, you're going to do it. I mean,
yeah, Stan.
Stan's not far off of learning, is he?
It's quite an explosive relationship. I can't see it going well, Paul, if I'm honest. I think I will let someone else...
I do like the idea of you sitting there going, more gas. It would be good.
I would. More gas.
Not sure about I would. We move on to the Bellinghams. Could they be the new Charltons? Because let's not forget that Jude has a younger brother at Birmingham City. He scored his second goal in 3 England under-18 games yesterday. And you say, you always get these stories. Oh, yeah, his brother's coming through.
Yeah,
and he's even better than him. But is he? Is that asking too much, looking at just how good Jude is? Ian Danter, of course, TalkSport commentator and Birmingham City fan, joins us now. Good afternoon, Dance.
Good afternoon, gents.
Yes. So, I mean, it's a lot to ask, and it's a bit unfair on a kid of 18. But having said that, by this stage, is it Joby? It's not Job. Was it Joby or Job?
Well, it's either or, I think.
Okay.
I've always gone with Job up to this point, but I could be wrong.
But by this stage, his brother had already had his shirt retired by Birmingham City. So he has got a lot to live up to anyway, hasn't he?
It's hard to do the old Pepsi challenge between the two, because in that 1 year that Jude has had at Birmingham's midfield, he started 32 games of the 41 appearances he made in the Championship, whereas Job has only made one start this season. And he's made a dozen or so substitute appearances in Championship games. But, of course, that's coming onto the pitch with typically 20, 15 minutes to go. Mm. So it's very hard, not only because they play in slightly different positions. Job is a slightly wider midfielder than the more central midfielder. But it's very hard to make direct comparisons. But it's lovely to see that he's getting goals against Croatia and Switzerland for the under-18s. That's, you know, really encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, there's every chance, isn't there, if he trains on, that you could see the pair of them playing in the team together, Nevilles and the Charltons.
It's not beyond the wit of man that it could happen. I mean, the next 12 to 18 months are going to be very important for Joe, because Birmingham as a club, as you know, over the past 5 or 6 years have been in a terrible, perilous financial state. And it was actually the sale of Jude to Borussia Dortmund that helped stave off a lot of even worse financial problems. And also the sale of Shea Adams to Southampton as well. I shouldn't really forget that. But, you know, the accounts were released on Monday. There's a loss of, you know, 24, 25 million quid. It's all looking pretty sad once again. And what happens in those instances is you're looking at what assets Birmingham have got in the playing staff. And I guess Job, even though, as I say, only one start in the Championship this season, he, along with the likes of Jordan James and Alfie Chang, would be thought of as assets. But at this point, Job can't possibly be sold for as much as Jude was to Dortmund.
No. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Dan. I mean, my dad always says you can only sell something once, you know, so get what you can. But with footballers, it doesn't seem to be that, does it? You can sell them and then you get the sell-on fee and then the sell-on fee. So I suppose whoever's doing the deal, however Birmingham City do sell him, if and when they do sell him, that deal is like absolutely crucial to them, isn't it?
And they're also waiting to see what happens with Jude, because if there is, I'm led to believe, a sell-on clause that Birmingham put in place when Jude left for Dortmund. So if a mega club comes in for Jude this summer, there's a chunk of change heading Birmingham's way. And goodness only knows we need it, because the stadium repairs, not just, you know, the financial problems. I'm sure you both know that the stadium's still half shut, because the cop stand that runs all the way along the one touchline, the bottom tier, is shut because they found asbestos under the stands. Same goes with the bottom tier of the Tilton Road end behind the goal at one end. Those still haven't been fixed, and they've got to find about 5 million quid to get those repairs completed. They've got the specialist, you know, companies to get the work done, but the cash flow simply isn't there. So players like Job, I mean, I remember there was a fire sale before under the previous ownership when people like Damari Gray and Jordan Much and Jack Butland were sold for an awful lot less than what we Birmingham fans perceived as being market value. So we're careering towards another summer of uncertainty where people like Craig Gardner, the technical director, he's pulling all sorts of the best he can do to try and get the wage bill down, because the wage bill's still pretty astronomical. And Job won't be one of those players who's on big money, because he's only just signed pro forms. But the club's in a terrible state. So any cash flow that can come in will be welcome. But does that mean that players get sold for less than their market value is, because there's a desperation for cash flow?
Talking of sell-on fees, it was disappointing to hear Barry Fry on Breakfast the other day saying that they weren't going to get a million from Ivan Toney playing for England. Oh, that wasn't part of the deal.
What a shame.
I'm sure Darren Ferguson was, he was probably watching that thinking,
Barry caught me out on Saturday. I was on air doing Game Day Live. I was halfway through a link and suddenly I'm, Bruno! From the other side of the stadium. And he's keep right on. That's it. In my favourite three words now, Dench, keep right on. He's very happy with that, Barry. Yeah, he'll be. But then, you know, for every Ivan Toney that doesn't earn him in, how many great deals has Barry, you know, conjured?
I'm just looking at him on Racing TV.
What, Barry?
He's gone racing. He's on Racing TV at the moment in the parade ring.
Is he really?
How's he looking? Is he looking?
Looks exactly the same.
He's not sweating up in there. He's not looking like he's
take a trip. I'm a jockey now, Dan.
They put blinkers on him, Dan. They put blinkers on him.
That's right. He's got the cheek pieces on, Bazza, today. Definitely.
There's a thought.
Oh dear. Okay, Dan, it's good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
All right, chaps, take it easy.
Okay, let's see. And Dan to there, back on commentary duty this weekend on TalkSport. Luton versus Watford. He's with David Connolly, TalkSport 2 exclusive, 12:30 on Saturday. A choice of listening, because we have the little matter of City versus Liverpool as game day here on TalkSport.
Lovely.
Yeah. I'm off to a match tonight. I'm going with you, aren't I, Charlie?
It seems to be like a bunch of TalkSport vultures coming to watch Torquay United tonight.
I'm going to watch, it's just the last rites. I'm going there.
Rubbernecking, I think it is. Just coming in to see how bad it can actually get.
Yeah, we're going Boreham Wood. I think Adrian's there, isn't he, working? And Nigel Adley and Jim Proudfoot.
Jim's a Torquay fan. He is a Torquay fan. You know, I saw Jim.
It turned into a works do. I know, it's going to be very lovely. Much looking
Christmas
forward.
Party.
I mean, the quality of the football I've been watching under Conte, it's going to be like watching Ticker Tacker, really. Well, watching Boreham Wood and Torquay.
You look, it's not over till it's over.
But no, I've got. This I think tonight's over. The turning
you think
point.
Tonight's the turning tonight, point, don't you, Paul? This is it tonight. Okay,
in Gary, we trust.
I do.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Thank you for all your emails, texts and tweets this afternoon of when driving instructors take liberties. We know there's lots of good ones who would never dream of doing this, and we've heard from one or two, obviously.
Thank you very
but
much.
But the more interesting tales are around those that have. So do bear with us if you are a good driving instructor who would never dream of doing this. Now, beyond that, a couple of things to get you involved in. Charlie's rocked up today at work with a rather fetching homemade ring. It's a beautiful piece of homemade jewellery.
Lovely, isn't it?
It is lovely, yeah. It's beautiful. It's kind of a rainbow.
Rainbow. Is it called loom bands?
Loom bands,
yeah. I think your kid's probably a bit old for loom bands. They were more popular sort of about 5 or 6 years ago, but when kids hit about 7 or 8, I think they can... Make
they do them at school
themselves.
Or at home?
At home. Mm-hmm. My daughter has made me this beautiful rainbow ring from her loom bands, Paul. And she said, do you promise to wear it to work tomorrow? And I promised, Paul. What do I do?
Betty's listening, you've worn it all day with her
big, big blue eyes. Yeah. And she's going, do you promise? What do I say, Paul? You wear it. You wear the ring, don't you, Paul? Yeah, you don't lie to your children.
No, of course not.
You know, so here I...
Not often, anyway.
I do quite a lot.
Yeah.
Lie to them. But so here I am. It's on my Instagram, if anyone wants to find
We'll put a picture out on TSH and J. Yeah. So, and we were thinking the kids made it, so you had to wear it, eat it. Yeah. You get the idea with that.
The pasta shell pictures on the fridge, Paul, you know, your reaction to them is quite important. It's because it's deep-seated insecurity for people if their parents never went, that's great, you did a great job, you know, you spend your life.
Within reason, don't talk them up too much, otherwise they end up on the X Factor, you know.
You think?
Somebody's got to be prepared to say one day, you can't sing.
He's not very good at it.
Don't make a fool of yourself.
Well, I have a theory on that, actually, Paul, that people sing now. You know those people who can't sing and they don't know they can't sing?
Yeah.
I think it's because people sing now with headphones on. They all sing to themselves with headphones on.
So they can only hear the voice of Adele.
Yeah, so they're going, I sound like Adele, I sound absolutely amazing. Never mind, I'll find.
All the other people on the train are moving.
Hearing that, you know, hello, that's me.
Charlie, it's a good theory,
isn't it?
So
there we are.
So the kids, I'd get like towards the end of the six.
The kids made it.
Well, yeah, when the kids made it, whether it be edible or wearable.
Yeah.
And so you had to wear it or eat it. I used to get to the end of the summer holidays sometimes when I was very young. And I played football like all day for about 5.5, 6 weeks. It was the real kind of dog days of the school holidays. And it might be raining, so I think, I'll make a cake. And I could see my mum's face sink. So we'd go and get a cake mix normally. It was easy. And I'd stand up on a chair mixing it all up. And my dad would come home. And it was this bone dry bit of Victoria sponge or something. And I'd sit there looking at him, just staring at him, my arms folded across the table, saying, Dad, you've got to have my cake.
Do you like
again,
it?
I can see now he was thinking, oh, God, he's made a cake. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
And we said I'll have to have a cup of tea with it just to break it down so it doesn't choke. Solid.
When they've made biscuits at school, you see, you know, little lads and little girls are like their fingers up their nose, fingers everywhere, and it all going in the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, eat your biscuit. In front of them, you know.
So anyway, the kids made it, so you had to wear it, eat it, whatever. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TS. H&J.
Peppermint creams we used to make, me and my mum.
Peppermint creams.
That's what we'd make.
That's quite glamorous, as our old mate Stuart Pearce would say.
Thinking about it now, it's quite 70s, isn't it? A peppermint cream.
Yeah, it is. That's
basically
right.
Icing sugar.
Will you knock me some up? I mean, not this evening, we're going to the match, but
I'll make me some peppermint creams. I'll bring you some peppermint creams in. I'll have to get the recipe from my mum.
Yeah.
I think it's just sugar and peppermint.
Okay.
I'll bring some in on Thursday.
Brilliant, Charlie.
Peppermint creams day, lovely.
So don't miss that on Thursday here on Talk Sport. And another, go on, I know we're throwing a lot at you, but I did wonder whether you've got a pre-match routine or what gets you up for a performance as a Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon footballer, cricketer? Because you probably saw the story about Flatboy Slim, which is a different, it's completely different act. It's a two-dimensional version of Flatboy Slim.
Great estate agent name, that. If anyone's looking, Flatboy Slim.
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? Down in the Brighton area.
He does lettings.
It would be,
He does lettings, he does sales.
Yeah.
You know, he's there, he's got a new block.
On the side of a mini, that'd look great, wouldn't it?
Flatboy Slim.
Yeah. Anyway, Harry gets up for a gig these days. He said it involves three Red Bulls, putting on an Hawaiian shirt, removing my shoes and being slapped really hard across the face by my tour manager.
Oh, lovely.
And then he goes straight on stage. That thing of, whoa, yeah, he's in the moment, you know.
Very nice.
A mixture of Red Bull and a sort of casual violence. So I've mentioned before that...
I always think when boxers go, get a couple of punches in the face in before I go out.
And a little warm-up.
So it's not a shock when I'm out there getting punched in the face.
The story was that when Alan, I'm sure Mike has told this, when Alan Brazil and Mike Parry were bringing the breakfast on Talksport many moons ago, they would go into a little side room before the show, because it was 5 to 6 and very early and you have to get yourself up for the moment. They would swear at each other and sort of shout at each other for a few minutes.
Lovely.
To kind of get the juice, to get the adrenaline flowing. So
that's nice. I used to I did a 50-50 tour once with Josh Whittaker. I don't know what happened to him. Where I'd do the first half and he'd do the second half, you know. Normally, that's how it works his way out. And I don't think he minded me telling you, his preparation used to be doing a little bird bath of sort of water on his face just before he went out.
Bird bath of water?
Just a little bird bath, just a little, some water, some cold water, just slapped on his cheeks, and off he went, on he went. There we
are. Probably has someone do that for him.
Now he'll pay.
He probably has somebody who comes in and just does it.
Probably on his rider.
Yeah.
An actual bird bath.
Yeah. That's it. He insists on birds do it for him. That's why they come in.
Trained birds.
Parakeets. He has trained doves. That's right.
Yeah, beautiful.
So, yes, how do you prepare? Have you got, even on a Saturday morning, people say, are you still doing that? A Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon, whatever, when you play football or whatever, from a bit of preparation before you go and do whatever it is you do.
Up for it. Yeah,
let us know. Maybe you can pass that on to the listeners. Yeah, there could be a turning point in their football careers. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
Yes.
This is from Shane. I had a driving instructor who once had me park in a Sainsbury's car park midwinter. He went in and got a turkey. And then they made me do the rest of the lesson with the aircon on to keep the turkey cold.
Well, that's nice. That's all right, isn't it?
It's great, isn't it?
I like this story because it involves the best name for a driving instructor I think I've ever heard.
Okay.
Paul, I think you like this character. As soon as I say his name, you're going to like it. So, and it is in Newton Abbot, this story. I don't know who this person is, but there we are. During one of my lessons over in Newton Abbot, my instructor diverted me to pick up another lad during my lesson.
Yeah, I often used to do that.
That lad then sat back in the back for the rest of the lesson.
Yeah.
The instructor also asked me to pull into Tesco's while we went shopping. So far, pretty up there with the stories we've had. The driving instructor was called Frank Savory.
Oh, that's a good name, isn't it?
What a good character name. Yeah. Driving sweet. Passing sweet with Frank Savory.
That's right. Frank, if Frank's still with us, still out there, Frank, we salute you.
Frank Savory.
For your name and your little...
great name.
He may sue you now for suggesting he went to Tesco's. Of course, that's not Frank. He's not that kind of lad.
That was from Gavin and Timothy.
Thank you, Gavin. Go after him, not us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And someone's picked up on Flatboy Slim. Which you mistakenly said earlier, Paul. We said Flatboy Slim.
I said Flatboy Slim, not Fatboy Slim.
He said it'd be a great name for an estate agent. Joe from Skipton's been in touch. He's got us Brandon Block of Flats and Trevor Nelson Mandela House. So that's what we've got there.
Talking of Brandon Block, on my third driving lesson, says Mike from... Berkshire, he says, third driving lesson, my instructor directed me to Jewson's, other fine building companies are available, including our good friends Toolstation. The building, say another one, Charlie. That's almost as bad as what I said, but almost. The building materials company to pick up over 50 bricks for his house extension in the back of a Vauxhall Corsa. He said, now be careful because the steering might feel a little bit lighter on the way back.
He had a brother who said, go and pick up some straw.
Yeah.
And he had another brother.
That's right, yeah.
Pick up some twigs.
Those pigs. I was more concerned that I could see less of the road and more of the sky, says Mike. So when driving instructors push their luck.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon. It's Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. And yes, I'm the world of National League football.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it, aren't you, Paul?
What
are you expecting?
Well, I mean, I'd like to lord it over you. Like, I've been watching this wonderful football, as I said earlier, and I haven't been. So I'm expecting Boreham Wood to against Torquay. It'd be a step up on Conte Ball, to be honest.
You think it might be very similar? I think Conte would do well in the National League. Yeah, I think it'd be... So get it in the mixer!
Either go two behind or get in front, then park on the edge of the box till you're 3-2 down. Yeah.
Well, we have let in more late goals this season.
I know, I was quite shocked again at the weekend.
I think we're... You know how karma works in football? Paul.
Yeah,
we had in the season we nearly went up. We had so many late goals, like, you know, absolutely loads and loads of.
And they're all coming
goals.
Back to bite you
and
on
it's
the bum.
All
now,
coming
yeah.
now. This is,
well, I mean, you were. I mean, wasn't it the 95th minute? You lost 2-1 at the weekend.
Yeah, we were 1-0 up.
Gateshead.
It was Dagenham. Dagenham and Redbridge. Right. Okay. Ine Effiong, who's a very good player, actually.
Yeah. So we've got a bit of Slough versus Ebbsfleet on BT, and so to get me in the mood for. My expectations.
Well,
so,
yeah, but this on the 4G as well. 4G,
this is the league you're being next year, is this right?
Well,
let's
hope not.
Okay,
let's
fair
hope,
enough.
But at the moment, it is likely.
It's not looking good. Well, let's hope the great turnaround starts. It's a bit of a
tonight,
sport outing.
If you win tonight, Paul, you have to come to every game of the last night.
Even the ones in Torquay. Gary will pay for me.
Yeah, we'll pay you. We'll get you on the... I'll pay for you. We'll get you down there on the coach, everything. Go and see the lads. All of them, lovely stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. Nice. Thank you for all your emails and texts today. You're very interesting.
Absolutely loads of lovely stuff.
Most of them are about when driving instructors take liberties. It's become a bit of a rich scene, isn't it?
You also asked for people warming up, how people warmed up.
Fat Boy Slim said that his way of preparing for a gig now is 3 Red Bulls, put on a Hawaiian shirt, remove my shoes, and get slapped really hard around the face by my tour manager.
It's because he stopped drinking.
Okay.
It's because he stopped drinking. He can't remember when he DJ'd sober last. So that's his prep.
Right.
Mike in Brentford says, as a kit man, I belt out Mr. Brightside before all the players arrive to let out any stress before the players come in and stress me out. That's Mike.
Nice. Bit of Killers pre-match.
Standing on his own in the dressing room singing Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
And then folding up the socks.
Nice.
Is, you know,
I'm quite
nice
impressed
indeed,
at that level they got a kit man. Yes, where's this one gone? 20 years ago, I was learning to drive. My instructor made me stop at a chippy, and we then delivered lunch to a woman. He was also teaching, apparently, and had promised lunch to if she passed. Anyway, I sat outside for 10 minutes. Said delivery took place. He returns, and we go on with the lesson. Different time, says Sam in Bicester. Suggesting it was some kind of booty call.
Exactly, lovely. But like sort of those old films from the 70s, Confessions of a Driving Instructor.
Good old Robin Asquith.
Yeah,
that's right,
lovely.
Yes.
How would you update those films now, Paul?
Confessions. Well, I'd put you in them for a start.
Confessions of a mobile phone salesman.
I could, yes, that's right.
I'm going to give her some 3 minutes.
Yes, indeed. I think we'll leave it there, Charlie.
Do you want
Charlie on the sports bar? Especially after the last 10 minutes.
I was talking about Linton earlier on, Paul, because I'm on tour and I was in Linton on Sunday night.
Yeah.
A nice little sort of seaside-y place. And Steve Hobbs has been in touch. Somerset County Cricket Club played Linton AFC in a foot. Now, actually, one thing about Linton is it has the most unbelievable cricket pitch.
Does it
like,
really?
Like you sort of go around a corner or over a cliff, and there just out of nowhere is this cricket pitch. Do Google Linton cricket pitch.
Okay.
Somerset County Cricket Club played Linton AFC in a football friendly in the early 80s. So, you know, Botham, Viv Richards, all those people. And I was telling you, it's, you know, on cliffside, the whole drive-in. Driving in, they had to stop and get Viv Richards to lie down across the seats in the back of one of the cars as he was scared about going down the coastal road. So Viv just didn't fancy it at all. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. So.
It sounds kind of pretty. I imagine in lovely weather, it's a nice drive, isn't it?
I can imagine. I can imagine it'd be absolutely sort of places you drive out of in the dark, and suddenly a horse will come around the corner, something like that. Animals in the road.
Yes,
that sort of.
That's your new series on Channel 5, isn't it, Charlie? Basically, you keep saying these things on the basis that Channel 5 will commission
them. Trying to get
them.
It, yeah.
Charlie
Animals
Baker's,
in the road.
Animals in the road.
And Ring doorbells is not any other sort of doorbell camera is available. The footage from them, I think that'll be the next big thing, don't you think, Paul? We've seen so many dash cam crashes.
Yeah.
There's so many programs like that. And you've got motorway cops, you've got traffic cops.
Charlie Baker's Ring doorbell. Mishaps.
Mishap, people falling over.
Posting going.
You know, all sorts of stuff.
In the ice.
It's going to be good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one.
And you're available for the voice.
I can do that if you want.
Okay, fantastic.
Let's look at this idiot crossing the road outside 42 Asquith Street.
He thought he'd get away with it, but it was picked up by this
Ring doorbell.
Ring doorbell, yeah. Can I ask you a
question? Ring doorbell one.
Yes. Let's have your top 10 ring doorbell fails. Yeah, I can see it, Charlie. It's a winner.
It's good.
I want to ask you a serious question now, because you do the National Obsession podcast with John Cadogan.
I do.
And Wolves and Brentford fans will be interested in this little piece in the papers the other day. Wolves and Brentford are among a stack of teams watching non-league defender Kellen Fisher. Ooh. Are you aware of him? He's a right back. He's 18. He has caught the eye of the Premier League clubs.
Kellen Fisher, where is he?
Playing for Bromley. Plays for Bromley. I'm looking at the producer.
No, he's not
on your radar.
Well,
I mean, basically, you pretend your podcast isn't a talking podcast, but it is really.
I've heard of Kellen Fisher. The only thing about Bromley is they play on the 4G pitch, and it feels a bit cheaty.
It's a leveler, isn't it?
Feels cheaty.
Oh, okay.
That's what it feels.
Fair enough.
I feel like 4G pitches are cheating.
Okay. Hull and Swansea have looked at him as well. Yeah. 10 scouts went to watch the game against Yeovil, apparently.
I mean, there's a lot of good players in that division. None better than Macaulay Langstaff, who is on 38 goals, I think. And the National League record is...
For a season, is
Ricky Hill's in the 16...
Ricky Hill?
Ricky Miller. And he scored 16 and 17 season. He scored 40 goals for Dover.
Wow.
In that
so
season.
It's right, we may speak to him, maybe, because he's right on the cusp of seeing his record broke.
Yeah, Macaulay Langstaff is just about to do that, yes. I'm hosting a non-league special tonight on BT Sport called The Football's On. If anyone wants to watch that tonight, if you're a non-league fan, that'll be on tonight.
To get everybody in the mood after the game tonight. So is there a full programme tonight? Is there a lot of games tonight?
Yes, full programme of the National League, of
excellent.
Course. Yeah.
So, still to come this afternoon, we are going to talk a bit of Wales. They're in action tonight. You've seen the Wales fans have a new song, So That's the Way I Like It by Casey and the Sunshine Band. And always got a good travelling army. Wales away, I like it. Good song, isn't it?
I'm trying to work out how it scans.
Except it is Wales away.
I like it.
But of course, they won't sing it at night because they're at home. And Gareth Bale will be in attendance. He's coming over to say a proper farewell to the fans.
Give him a wave.
Which is nice. He's torn himself away from Maroon 5, his new love. That and golf. They're going to have to do a new flag. Maroon 5, golf, Wales.
Why does he like Maroon 5 so much? I didn't see that.
He was at one of their gigs the other day, which allowed me to play Andy yesterday. It's a Maroon 5 song, starting with the most popular. Yeah. He'd heard of three out of the five, but he was a bit high court judge about the others, even though they were massive hits. So,
there we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're going to bring you Celebrity Combination Lock.
Yes, thank goodness.
The quiz they're all talking about. Series 2. Of course, Adam Rowe finished Series 1 with a big jackpot win.
Yeah, he was 24. He had the 24th go, I think.
Yes. So let's see if someone can do it a bit quicker. It's a very simple game. We'll explain all because our next contestant joins us now. He's an actor. comedian, podcaster,
singer, musical theatre actor. Singer,
that's right. Yes,
amazing. Is there anything he can do?
Yeah, a member of the heebie-jeebies back in the day, KYTV, and of course one of those we said, Michael Fenton Stevens, should introduce him. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, how are you? All right. Yeah, this good. Is the quiz. The quiz that everyone's talking about. It's about everybody I speak to. They all say to me, "What the hell is that?"
Yeah. Well, they've got a point. We haven't quite worked it out. But we were saying there is this kind of. There were people that turned up in one episode of Only Fools, but have become kind of legends of the series. Yeah. There's you, of course, with the Groovy Gang, as the head of the Groovy Gang, looking after Rodney in that famous episode.
And my dear friend Philip Pope, who was
the pub singer, wasn't he, Phil? Yeah,
he was. He sang Quying, didn't he?
He did. That was it. It's very funny. And say Vass Blackwood as well, who was the shadow in that famous one when they were held hostage. It's funny, the kind of people recognise you for that because it's been shown so many times, isn't
and
it?
And millions episode? Of well, people watched it when it first came out, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, it's true, but there's hardly a day goes by where some van driver doesn't wind his window down and shout, you know, "Groovy, mate," at me, and I go, "Hey, yeah, that's it." I quite understand it, but actually, you know, if it's a problem for me, then you should talk to Jim Broadbent, says, you know, that who's won Oscars, hasn't he? I mean, he's basically been Oscar nominated, been in hundreds of films, done amazing performances, Harry Potter and all that sort of stuff, and he said that if he's ever recognised in the street, someone says to him, "Oi, Slater."
It's great. We spoke. We spoke to the late, great Roger Lloyd Pack about it, and he came on the show once years ago, and I said, "How many times, roughly, would you say someone shouts, 'Oi, Trigger,' or 'Dave,' or 'Where's your broom,' a day from a van?" And he went, "Probably about 50.
Oh, my God.
Like a curse. Well, that's whenever, more than me. I'm not sure I could take that.
Whenever he walked the streets. Yeah.
I don't mind it. I'm always amazed. I'm astonished. I suppose, actually, people have probably seen me grow old over the years in different parts. And then you sort of think, because I can never quite understand how they can recognise me from the, well, frankly, rather gorgeous man I was at the age of 31.
You really were. Wow. What a guy. I mean, the thing you do now as well is you've got a podcast that you do, and it's a brilliant. Tell us about your podcast, Mike.
My podcast is very good fun. I talk to people that I've met over the years, and I ask them the simple question of, tell me five things from any time in your life that you would like to have in a time capsule. And you can have four things that you cherish, you'd like to have again or see again or experience again, and one thing that you'd like to put in there so we can bury it in the ground and you never have to think about it again. And the conversations I've had with people have been extraordinary. Really, some of them very moving, some of them very funny. You know, Sean Walsh made me laugh for about 5 minutes nonstop.
Funny, yeah, he is funny.
He's a funny man.
Yeah.
And so we had a lovely time. Charlie, I can't remember our episode. We did
a lovely one, yes. I enjoyed it very much. But you have I like the sort of breadth of people you have on as well. You don't have just actors and performers. You have all sorts of people. It's really good. People really should seek it out.
Yeah, they've got a whole back catalogue. You've been doing it for a couple of years, and you've got Stephen Fry, Rick Wakeman, Mark Gatiss, Chris Addison, Richard Coles and Richard Herring, David Baddiel, etc. So you got a lot of people on
lots
there.
Of people, and lots of people coming up, and some interesting people as well. I think, you know, I've got some. I'm going to be doing it with Dave Gorman, who I've always been a fan of for a long time, and that's going to be our very first live thing. I'm doing it at a festival, so I'm going to see how it works in front of an audience.
Oh, wow.
There'll be me and Dave Gorman sitting there talking to each other and complete silence.
Now, you are a Manchester United fan, Mike, aren't you?
I am, lifelong. Actually, I was born not more than about 100 metres from, or as we call them, yards, from Millwall Football Club.
Right.
But I was also born in 1958. In February 1958, so around the time of the Munich air disaster. Mm-hmm. And my father switched. He switched from being a Millwall supporter to being a Man United supporter because he felt they needed the support.
Wow.
As if they do. But that's rather nice. And so he brought me up as a... So, you know, what can you do? When you're brought up that way, you're stuck with it, you know. And I've had to suffer all those victories. It's been terrible.
How are you feeling about the new ownership battle that's going on at the moment?
Well, I'm rather hoping we're not going to go the route of so many clubs and just be another thing owned by, I don't know, just an investment company. Yeah. I like the idea that, actually an owner could be or might actually be interested in the club. So I'm quite interested in the English owner because I like the idea also that, you know, they're a fan. You know,
yeah,
good. But, you know, it's a weird world, isn't it? I sometimes watch Man United play and I think to myself, is this the club I supported? I don't know if it is. It's just huge and it's worldwide. Yeah. And you know, and I would occasionally like to see them play at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
it is the club you support because the fans are the club. The fans are the only constant in any club. So
true.
All the fans are there. So the fans are the club. So it is the same club, I'm afraid.
Mm. Absolutely. And we will be there. We would be there even if everything went sour as it has with other clubs, you know. I mean, if it all fell apart and we went down to the third division, we'd still be there. We'd still be supporting them and hoping they could, you know, they could beat Torquay.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Well, I think it's time then, isn't it?
It's time.
Celebrity combination. It's time. Lock in. It's time. Yeah. Let's give it the big. Let's give
don't
it the
knock
big,
the lock.
The big build up. Here we go.
Celebrity Combination Lock with your hosts, Paul Hawksby and lock keeper, Charlie Baker.
Yes, it's Series 2 of Celebrity Combination Lock. It's the second episode of Series 2.
Yeah. Don't knock the lock, Paul. What don't we knock? The lock.
The lock.
There right. It is. Beautiful.
The lock. Everybody. The lock.
Our guest last week did knock the lock, so we don't know whether... I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was Chloe Petz. Was it
Chloe
Petz?
Yeah, she knocked the lock.
She knocked the lock.
And
what?
Subsequently didn't win.
She didn't win, of course. Yes.
No, I would never knock the lock. I'm going to unlock the lock.
Well, that's what we want. We want to unlock the lock. That's
unlock?
It.
I'm not going to block.
Yeah. So what happened in the last series was Jamie, our assistant producer, he locked his football kit in his locker and he couldn't get it out.
The combination.
Anyway, we got his football kit out and now he's played the game and he wants to go and have a sauna after the game, doesn't he? And the sauna is locked up with the combination lock.
Because, funny enough, Charlie, went to a hotel the other day where the sauna had a combination lock on it.
And I saw it and I thought, this is a new storyline.
This is a new spin-off. It's a new departure for Celebrity combination lock.
So Jamie now, he's desperate for a sauna.
Yeah. I'm still with you. I'm staying with you. Treat me as if I'm the listener.
It's
you know, honestly, I'm still listening.
He's wafer stood in his thin, towel. This, he's stood in his towel. He's embarrassed.
I haven't switched channel or anything. I've not done any of that.
He's got shaky hands. He's trying to undo. He's almost naked.
Oh. What you're trying to say, Charlie, is we need Mike to come up with four numbers to unlock the lock.
Right.
So the guests
Unlock the lock.
The guests last week, Chloe Petz, Palace fan, comedian, writer, she went 4-2-3-1. There was one correct number in there out of 4-2-3-1. Not in the correct place, though. So you may want to reposition one of those numbers in your guess. So it is pretty straightforward. It's just a chance, Mike, to try and guess the four numbers and guess the combination on Celebrity Combination Lock.
Right.
Take it away.
Good luck to you.
How interesting. The numbers I was going to choose would have started with the numbers 4 and 2.
Oh, wow. Well, we know one of those is wrong.
One of those is right or wrong. Yes.
Right. I think I'm going to go for 4 and I'm going to put it second.
Okay.
So I think it's something 4. Mm. But it's not 2, 3, or 1. So okay. I'm gonna go 6, 4.
Yeah.
7. Are you allowed to repeat numbers?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In this game.
Not in this game.
But in this game, actually.
In
but
this
if that's
game,
the correct one, it won't. Okay. What did I go for? Six, four, seven. Seven.
Yeah.
I'm going 6 again.
That is definitely the most thought anybody's ever put into Celebrity Combination Lock. So
6, 4, 7, 6. Let's put those numbers in.
Here we go.
6, 4.
Yep.
4.
Oh, yeah.
7.
Okay, yep.
6.
Okay,
The tension.
Here we go.
6, 4.
Yeah.
4. 4. That's 4 going in now.
7.
That's the 7 going in.
Can you get into the sauna? Can you get into the sauna?
He can't get into the sauna.
He's standing
outside the sauna in
shaking
his towel.
It's a bit cold.
He's freezing.
In a towel.
It's absolutely freezing.
Somebody's left a fire door open. There's a real draft coming through.
He's seizing up. No. His legs are seizing up. There we are.
So how many, let's find out from the lock keeper, how many you did get right, Mike? Here we go.
Zero.
Zero right.
No!
There
None
we
of
are.
Those numbers.
Oh,
so,
that's
6-4
Well,
seven,
but that's
six.
Useful for the next person.
It is. That, what that's a right. nice thought.
It's like and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to come back on until I get it right.
Okay? Every week.
Can you come back next week? Yes. We had a lovely day.
It's weekly. It's weekly. Okay. Weekly, yeah. I don't think I'm going to live long enough for this.
We try and do this every week. I mean, it's ridiculous.
24 weeks it's
this is the second
time.
Series.
How do you bear the tension between...
We're waiting for Telly to buy it. I'm looking for the world. No interest so far.
No, not
hang
so
on a minute.
Far.
No. My mobile's going. It's okay. Oh, it's a lot. There is.
Don't knock the lot.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been telling us about the driving instructors who took liberties over the years. It's been a rich scene. Thanks for all your stories. Callum says, I had a driving instructor who used to sell... what could we call them? A copy handbags. We drove to his house on one of my lessons so he could grab a bunch of them and drop them off at his counterfeit clients.
Oh, nice.
Great. Marvellous.
What a nice little thing you're representing.
Accessory
there,
to, you know, whatever. Yeah. I had a number of driving lessons with a slightly older driving instructor. My one-hour lesson never lasted more than 40 minutes as we had to drive back to his place so he could go to the toilet. It's not great, it's not is great. It, really?
I do have a rule at the football, actually, Paul, which I have, which is when my wife and I go, just no kissing. No kissing at the football. So when we go to the match tonight...
I think I'm just about managed
okay.
that.
No kissing.
I'll do my best.
No kissing. There's some very good-looking Torquay fans. Jules Nixon, the face of drinking on trains. You'll meet him tonight, Paul.
Really good.
No kissing at the football.
Right. Is that a hard and fast rule?
Hard and fast rule I have. No kissing at the football. Okay. Not even really any chatting either. Just watch
it's
the
not
game.
Something I've ever kind of thought would be an issue before.
I don't like it when people sit down and they want to have a big chat. Like we're at the watch the football.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I
don't want to get into life. I'm at the football to forget about life.
Yeah, we spent 2 weeks there because occasionally you kind of if the game's not good, which generally at Tottenham recently they haven't been. Oh yeah, we had 2 weeks there, and the food wasn't bad. I wouldn't go. I just go half bald if I. And you can't
tune out.
You
of
can't
it.
Tune out
just
of it.
Watch
can
the
you?
Game. It's shout at the ref. Difficult. Do those. No, don't shout at the ref.
It's
obviously.
True. But you can't really have a go at job. People. Can't really have a go at people in a crowd at a football ground saying stop talking about your life. Have you done that?
You should. That's the point. It's not people speaking to me. People can do it in their own time. They can do what they like. If people want to talk to me, I'm at the foot. Talk to me about the football.
What about that? No kissing. You've got a lot of rules about watching football.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was how today unfolded. Nice. Very enjoreable it was too. We're now off to Boreham Wood versus Torquay United.
The
I'm very much
goals.
Looking forward to my dalliance in the National League.
I can't believe you've won full kit, Paul, but that's good of you.
Yeah,
you
look good. I went out and bought a full Torquay kit. Sock tags, I'm ready to go. I can't wait.
No shin pads, just the socks. Just not, really, it's a lovely look.
I've got a big bench coat on, Torquay bench coat with PH on there. So I'm really geared up. I'm really ready
really
to go.
Ready
I might
for
get
it.
The way you're playing, I might get 10 minutes. So we'll see. Anyway, I'm sure we'll report back on that tomorrow, and Andy joins me from one. Do hope you can join us. And Charlie's back on Thursday, of course. So, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.